I'm supposed to share. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll just kick off from. That is
the second person. Not in this.
Now we'll kick off from that teaching, but we're talking about the major. But that was why I asked us to listen to that teaching on Sunday. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the major fact of the gospel. The major fact of the gospel. But we're looking at it in the light of that teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm gonna be fast. It's just a short exhortation. Hallelujah. Very short. Not like yesterday where we spent hours learning about prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. We looked at, let's just draw back the basics. Matthew chapter 28, quickly. Matthew chapter 28. Let's draw back the basics. Matthew chapter 28. Okay. From verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. He said in verse 19, he said, go therefore. Hallelujah. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 And I told you the praise, the name of the Father, I mean the praise, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is what? Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 29 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and no one will be always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we'll get back to verse 18 into 19 shortly, but is it? We'll get back to verse 18, what he's talking about when he says go therefore. The word go therefore will be seen as an everyday word, but we'll get back to that shortly, very shortly, in the course of our exhortation. Now he said, what we looked at in the course of the series was the word teaching. Hallelujah. In verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe. The word teaching, we say, is the word didasko, which is the act of teaching. The act or to give across instruction, which will include giving out instruction. Hallelujah. Didasko will be the act of teaching. Didasko is a verb, meaning is an activity. Hallelujah. Didasko is a verb, meaning the act of giving out instruction. It's an activity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll find the same word used in Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, Jesus taught the art of teaching when he taught on the mount. Hallelujah. Verse 19, hallelujah. You find also in Matthew chapter 17, verse 28 to 29, the word didasco. You find it also in Romans 2, verse 21. Romans 2:21. You find also the same word in Romans 12:7. Hallelujah. When it talks about he who teaching should stay on his teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll find the same word by Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:17, 11:14, Galatians 1:12, 1 Timothy 4:11. I want us to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Okay. 1 Timothy 4:11. I want to read from verse 10. It says, say, for to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe.
These things, he said, command and teach. Did you see? He tells him, it's an active word, to command and teach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an active word. In chapter 6, verse 3, he said, to those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who have benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exalt these things. Did you see? So, whenever Paul uses this word to the pastor, Timothy, or whatever this word is, Paul uses it as to give instruction. Hallelujah. So, didasco is to give instruction. Hire me to give instruction, to dish out instruction. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the same thing also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, the words, the things which you've heard from me amongst many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to what? Teach others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we looked at that day that there is another similar word, which is didache. Didache. I'm going to spend a bit of time here because it also tells us something. It opens our eyes to a lot of things concerning the fact of the scripture. Didache would mean, it's the word that is translated doctrine sometimes in the scripture. Not all the time, hallelujah, sometimes. It has to do with the mode of teaching. That is, the manner in which what is explained is explained. And it's very important, the manner in which what is explained is being explained. That is didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E, didache. The manner is a similar word to didasco. Hallelujah. The manner in which what is explained is explained. Hallelujah. And you see, we discovered from the scriptures that the way Jesus taught was very much different from the way the Pharisees taught the same Old Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very, very much different. And that is what accounts for their being surprised. That is what accounts for Nicodemus coming to meet him. Nicodemus, a scribe, or a Pharisee, coming to meet him. A teacher of the law coming to meet him at night. Say, Rabboni, we know no one teaches this. Hallelujah, sent this from God. Hallelujah. He accounts for that too. Let's look at John chapter 7. And then we'll look at how Jesus taught them. John chapter 7. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus said for verse 16. Now he says, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keep the law. Why do you seek to kill me? Hallelujah. And look at what verse 20 says. And the people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marveled. Moses therefore gave you circumcision. Not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. Hallelujah. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Hallelujah. You see, we discover that Jesus, in his teaching, if you look at all Jesus' teaching, like from where we started off the series, we said all Jesus' teaching was from the Old Testament. Hallelujah. That was what they had as scriptures. And we discovered that Jesus began to walk the scriptures to suit, as in Jesus reworked the scripture in himself and gave explanations to the writings of Moses and the prophets concerning himself. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Are you with me? We'll see examples of that now. Look at, let's go to Luke chapter 24 quickly. Luke 24. I get something on. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Okay. Let's look at Luke 24. Verse 25. I'd like to start from verse 25. Now Jesus met the two guys on their way, and look at what he said to them. He said, "Oh foolish ones, slow to heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Hallelujah. Then verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Did you see that? Concerning who? Himself. So that's what Jesus did. He reworked it. He worked Moses to make them know that Moses spoke about him. The prophets wrote about him. Hallelujah. That was the move. While the Pharisees were busy trying to keep the laws and missing the mode of teaching, which is centered on Christ, which is the mode of teaching, is the gospel. Hallelujah. 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 And we saw that, glory to God. We saw that while we were looking at sin, hallelujah, while we were looking at sin, the law first mentioned, we saw that the gospel was ministered to Cain. Glory to God. Cain had the gospel, but what did he do? He chose to sin. Hallelujah. He chose to sin. Glory to God. He chose to sin. So therefore, Jesus explained Moses and the prophets as concerning himself. Look at verses 44. "And he said to them," when he came to his own, hallelujah, "and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Did you see that? So therefore, we would say the Old Testament, the writings of the prophet Moses, hallelujah, or the center theme of the scripture is Christ. The center theme of the scripture is Christ. In 2 Timothy, if you go down to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writing to Timothy chapter 3, chapter 3 from verse 16, say, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." Okay, sorry. Let's look at from verse 15. It said, "And from childhood, you've known the Holy Scripture, the grammar, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So those were the ones that Paul singled out and said, "These ones are given by the inspiration of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the scripture talks about Christ. Christ is the center theme of the scriptures. So we find Jesus coming and is teaching them. Hallelujah. He's teaching them from Moses concerning himself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus' explanations, so Jesus' teaching while he was on earth, the parables, all his teachings was to talk about himself and his work. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? So he himself spoke about his works, what he's going to do concerning himself. He spoke about himself. Hallelujah. We find him talking about himself, his mode of teaching. We find that in Matthew 22:33. We find also in John chapter 7, verse 16. I guess that's what we just read. Hallelujah. We find also the apostles were not left out. The apostles too spoke about Christ.
Hallelujah. They spoke about Christ in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. After the account, after the Spirit came upon them, we saw how Peter stood up and did what? And ministered Christ from Joel.
Hallelujah. In chapter 3, they were done
healing the guy at the gate called Beautiful. They challenged them. And what did they preach? They preached Christ. Hallelujah. From where? From the scriptures. Do you understand that? So now the disciples too will now rework Christ, or rework the Old Testament in Christ.
Hallelujah. Did you get that? Let's look at chapter 2 of Acts. Some of us are still trying to take away the scale of sleep on our face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just show you that in chapter 3. Look at from verse 22. Now Peter is speaking. Look at what he said, verse 22. He said, For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. It shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from amongst the people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Peter was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, verse 18, and verse 19. That was what he just quoted. Hallelujah. That's what he just quoted. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 18, from verse 15 to 19. That's what he quoted in verse 23. Now let's see how we worked it in verse 24. Yes. And all the prophets from Samuel and those who followed, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the son of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away in turning away every one of you from your iniquity. Did you see? So in preaching, what did Peter do?
He goes to the Old Testament
and did what?
He walked Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So he did that. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So in chapter 2, the same thing, when he was to explain what happened, he quoted from what? He quoted from Joel. He quoted from Psalms. Hallelujah. And he ministered Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You find the same thing too when Stephen too was caught. Stephen too ministered Christ too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He reworked the Old Testament in Christ, because the Old Testament, that is the explanation to the Old Testament, Christ. Hallelujah. The prophet spoke about Christ. That is the explanation. Christ is the explanation. So when you hear me say rework, doesn't necessarily mean it is not like that and I just have to twist it. No. That is what it talks about. Hallelujah. The explanation of the Old Testament is Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is the explanation of the Old Testament. Christ is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We find even Paul too,
explained the Old Testament as Christ.
Hallelujah. Paul did the same thing. Hallelujah.
You'll find, in fact,
I am about to say something now. Hallelujah.
But you find Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, you find him in other scripture quoting the Old Testament and explaining it in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Now, one step higher, the epistles.
Listen, you know what the epistles are? The epistles are explanations of the Old Testament.
Do you understand that? The epistles are the explanations, not is a kind of, are the explanations of the Old Testament. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul used the word when there was strife and contention between, with the people concerning him and Apollos. He himself said, I, Paul, plant. Did you understand that? I, Paul, plant. Paul uses for himself the word foundational. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Say, I have laid the foundation. So Paul distinguishes himself from Apollos as a foundation. Okay, as one who lays the foundation. Hallelujah. So that is why someone like the word was coined for them. The first person I heard that from was from Kenneth Hagin. He said he called them the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He called them the foundation. The first person I heard, if I don't know if it was existing before then. Hallelujah. Now he called them the foundational apostles. They set the foundation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Some facts about the gospel. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what is our own role to play? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact,
you will find in the epistles, the Old Testament is called, we're going to read that. The Old Testament is called mystery. You find the Old Testament, when you hear them, when you hear the apostles talk about the Old Testament, you hear them talk about it as the mystery. The mystery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does it mean, the mystery? It's the word mysterion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mystery. You find them talk about it in Colossians, in Ephesians. Hallelujah. Most of his writing, you find him talk about, call the Old Testament mystery. Why is it mystery? It's the word mysterion. And if you look at the word mysterion, the word, one of the words that make up the word mysterion, which is called mystery in English, is the word something that needs to be explained. Do you understand me? So mysterion is something that needs explanation. And that is what the epistles did. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So therefore, God left in the hands of the apostles the explanations to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you get that? It was left to their hands. So that is why they are called foundational, because they laid the foundation.
Jesus didn't write any scripture of the Bible. He didn't write any verse of the Bible. They were all left. In fact, Jesus' life, Jesus' teachings, Jesus' explanation, Jesus' everything, and the writing and the reworking of the Old Testament in Christ was done by the apostles. Hallelujah. Now, you now find Paul say something in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10. Hallelujah. Okay, let me start from verse 7. It says, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and the one who waters is one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Verse 10, according to God's grace, which he has given me as a wise master builder. Hallelujah. Calls himself an architect. I have laid the foundation. And another builds on it. Did you see that? I've laid the foundation. The word for foundation is the word temelios. Yes. Hallelujah. Temelios. Hallelujah. Something that is fixed. Hallelujah. Something that is fixed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he said, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. Let each man take heed how he builds on it. Say, for no other foundation can anyone lay than what is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Christ is the foundation laid. Hallelujah. So, Ephesians chapter 3, quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, fast. What I want to say, let me just read it. Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. From verse 1 through 4. He said, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Hallelujah. As I've briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Did you see that? Did you see that? It says, let's read that verse together and then we'll jump to verse 4. He says, let's look up for verse 3. He said, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Now, what does he refer to as mystery? The Old Testament. Hallelujah. As I've briefly written already, by which you read, and that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Meaning the hallelujah. Now look at verse 5. Which in other ages, when it talks about other ages, was referring to the time of old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Remember, I told you, I've said this earlier on. I've said this while we were discussing on this topic. Hallelujah. That when it means holy apostles and prophets, it's not talking about different people. He's talking about the apostles, the holy apostles and prophets. It means the holy apostles, which are the mouthpiece of God. Hallelujah. That's what it means, the mouthpiece of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he said it has been revealed to them. He didn't say it has been revealed. Do you understand that? It has been revealed to them. So the revelation has been revealed to who? The apostles. Which of the apostles? The foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Has been revealed to them. And what did Paul write? He says that when you read, so what is our own? Where is our own place today? Is it to get more revelations? No. Well, where is our own place today? Is it to go to the Old Testament and give new explanations? No. Hallelujah. 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 So the fact about the gospel is that when you minister the gospel, what you need to minister has been revealed to you already. So what is our place? Our place is to read, understand, and explain. That's why Paul can now tell Timothy, they say, what you've heard from me. Do you understand? He didn't tell Timothy what you've been able to the revelation you've been able to catch from the Old Testament. No. So what you've heard from me. Hallelujah. He said, commit to faithful men. Meaning, Timothy would preach what Paul has written to him. Right? Did you get that? Now the people Timothy will pass across the message to who are called faithful men, men who will be faithful to the ministry, men who will be faithful to the call, are going to preach what Paul wrote to Timothy. Did you get that? Those ones too will pass it across to faithful men who will preach what? The same thing. Hallelujah. So the message is one. The message is the same. And that message has been delivered to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the message has been delivered to us. It has. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we don't have a place to walk into Genesis chapter 5 and say, I want to catch Rema. I want to catch Revelation. No. You don't have that place. If you see anybody doing that, the person is walking in error. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll find some people saying, the Bible did not talk about this explicitly. So, therefore, we want to go and search for ourselves. No. Hallelujah. In fact, we stick to the apostles. What they say, we say. You understand me? When they are silent, we become silent. Glory to God. Did you get that? When they are silent, we become silent. Hallelujah. 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 You are silent when the apostles are silent. You are loud when they are loud. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So very important. Very important.
We don't have that. We don't have that. You are not. We don't have that. How should I put it? That is, there is no room for that to go and get new revelation. Or we will say, the revelation that God has given to us is so big about the gospel. It's so big. That! Hallelujah. So big that even Paul looking to our revelation and say, these people are mighty. Hallelujah.
It has been revealed to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Okay, let me just read what I have here for you. He said, the epistles are the explanations of the Old Testament. And there is no room to create any other foundation, which we've seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But our role is to read and understand. We are not permitted to get our own revelation, but to understand and teach the revelation handed to us by the foundational apostles. The apostles will explain the Old Testament and the words of Christ to us. They explain it to us. Hallelujah. So we read, we understand, and we do what? And we teach. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I heard something that is so true. Very, very true. When Paul was to write, let me just
show it to you.
When Paul was to write, if Paul is to write to a church, or most times when Paul writes to a church, you hear him pray for the church at Ephesus. He says, you pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Hallelujah. You find him praying for revelation knowledge, for epignosis. Hallelujah. We grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When he doesn't just say that prayer and leave. That granting of that revelation knowledge, or revelation and epignosis, all those things, it is found in the subsequent chapters. Very true. Hallelujah. So true. Hallelujah. So he doesn't just say it and go. He now teaches the word. So therefore, when you read, knowledge is granted. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you say, oh Lord, grant me revelation knowledge. Epignosis is mine. I'm going to sit there playing game. Go to sit there watching cartoon. You go and study. Hallelujah. And you understand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The epistle itself is the explanation. Hallelujah. It's the knowledge you need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you know, in the study, we looked at the blood and how the epistles explained it from Hebrews chapter 9, and how it was explained from the Old Testament. And we concluded that the blood of Christ is the spirit of Christ. That is, hallelujah. And we said to shed, when you say without the shedding of blood, to shed means to be in our heart. Hallelujah. Now is the spirit of God in our heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, a quick one. Matthew, let's look at the cross of Christ. And then we'll collate everything together. No. Let's just look at it in the light of the fact of the gospel. Hallelujah.
The cross of Christ. What then is the cross of Christ? Hallelujah. I wanted to give a background into the study, but as we go ahead, I'll be able to explain that because of time. I'm actually working with time critically. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I want to look at how Jesus used the word cross. Because you see,
the word cross was not coined by Jesus. The word cross was not coined by Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In fact,
okay, let me just say a piece of it. The word cross was used. Let's just stick to the word cross. Are we? The word cross was used, I said that because something popped up in my mind. So I can't just leave it at that and stick to the word cross. Hallelujah. Now, the word cross is used by the Romans for those who, as a punishment for capital offense. Do you understand me? As a punishment for those who have committed great offense. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So it will symbolize in those days, and I said it has been existed before Christ came. Hallelujah. To symbolize an open shame. You understand? Listen, but we're going to look at it from two aspects: how Jesus used it, how the apostles used it. They will not know what is the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. When the apostles spoke about the cross of Christ. Now let's look at what Jesus, how Jesus used it in Matthew chapter 10, from verse 34. You mean? Okay. Verse 34. It says, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on the earth." I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his household. He who loves his father more than me is not worthy of me. That is the explanation. Do you understand? Glory to God. I remember 2003. I read this thing and I was crying. 2003. I can never forget it. I was crying. I said, "Hey!" Do you understand? I'm like, Jesus didn't come to bring peace on the earth. Can I kick it to my Sunday school teacher who now worsened the issue for me? He so blew it. He so blew it. I'm like, hey. I got home, I was thinking, maybe Islam is the next option. It's not a joke. Because I had people in school talk about Islam. And now, I've just seen from my own Bible. Swap! But you better not talk about Islam. For my mother kills you. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I was afraid. I was in the school teacher and I'm blue. And I said, "Yes! Jesus didn't come to bring peace. That is what the Bible says. He came to set the fathers against the mother. If your mother does not start complaining about your Christianity, you are not yet a child of God." Hey. He gave me a exegesis. Glory to God. So we now learn to be a bit stubborn. So that they will get angry with us and say, "Yes, we are serving the living God." Yeah? But that is the explanation. I want you to see that because of where we'll read further. Hallelujah. Because of where we'll read further. Now he says, "He who loves his father or mother." Now, when Jesus said that, he was quoting from Micah chapter 7, verse 6. He was quoting from Micah. Micah chapter 7 verse 6.
Micah. Hallelujah. 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 Was quoting from Micah chapter 7, verse 6. Glory to God. So now, did you see what Jesus did? He picks out that scripture, and what did he do? He gave an explanation. The explanation is, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. Did you see that? And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Glory to God. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Did you see that? Did you see the explanation? Hallelujah. 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 So he says, he, let's take it again. He who, now he places a premium. He who loves his father and mother and children more than me. And that is a prayer. So you have to write that down somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. We'll have the explanation is one. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. Okay, where's that technical thing? Okay, verses 21. Now it says, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and raised the third day. Verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, are we together? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. For whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Hallelujah. Verse 25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses 58. Now, in that one, here is a clear explanation. Listen, here is a clear explanation to Matthew. Now, this is a typical example to Matthew and this Luke 9. Look at verse 58, verse 57. Verse 57. He said, now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Do you understand me? He said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know what is Jesus talking about here? Some people have read it to mean Jesus Christ does not have house.
He's a fugitive.
So funny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, yeah, hallelujah. Now, you see, I said some people have read this thing to mean that Jesus Christ has no place to lay his head. So Jesus Christ never had a house.
He's just moving for anywhere he finds his sleep. Not true. Don't join those set of people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In fact, the miracle, those people that dropped their friend and they removed the roof to pass their friend down, that was Jesus' house. Hope you know that. Hope you know that. So this scripture doesn't mean that. What Jesus was communicating to the man is that this walk does not require comfort. Hallelujah. This walk does not require comfort.
You are praying, getting to 12 hours, you're already casting out. 14 hours. Ah! They send delegates. We die here. We die here.
Hallelujah.
They send delegates. We die here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when the tongues was getting louder, people were like, this job, the work does not require comfort. Hallelujah. Maybe only came to eat rice and plantain.
Right. And drink garri. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
This is camp. So that's what Jesus was explaining to the man. He said, hey, he's preparing his mind. This work does not require, it's not the work where you do. You see, and that is very important. Growth cannot be found in a place of comfort. Spiritual growth cannot be found in the place of comfort. You want to advance the gospel and you are sitting now. You cannot advance the gospel in a place of comfort.
You cannot reach the unreached or save the unsaved from a place of comfort. It requires your conscious effort to go out. It requires a conscious effort to pray. It requires a conscious effort to study. Being a leader is not enjoying rights and privileges. Being a leader is a point to serve. Do you understand me? Being a leader is a call to serve. Is a call to leave your comfort zone. Whereby you spend hours praying for others. You spend time studying. You spend time discipling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the work is not the work for comfort. Hallelujah.
You can go and join Hindu or
Hare Krishna's, when you sit down for 10 hours, fold your leg, you want comfort, just sit down, fold your leg and do your hands like this. Sanity. Abhyavata for 30 hours, it's comfort. Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. Verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. Look, I wanted to take note of this. Remember, we've said the explanation to Micah was what? You should not place any other one above Christ, right? Right? Now, let's look at verse 59. Now, he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't being heartless. He was telling him the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you see, you always have excuses why you do not go for evangelism. There will always be an excuse. There will always be an excuse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor Shek will call it doing the will of God the simple way. Hallelujah. Just talk about him. Verse 61. And he said also, another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first and bid farewell to my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand on the plow and look back is fit for the work. Did you see? Guys, that is this explanation. Hallelujah. No one having set his hand on the plow and look back is fit for the kingdom of God, is fit for the work. That is to say, you don't place things above Christ. If you watch their words is, let me first. Let me first. Do you understand me? Look at verse 59. You can underline that word. Let me first go and bury my father. Jesus never said burying your father was wrong, but he said, let me first. Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go. Did you see? Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So in the gospel or in Christianity, Christ comes first. It comes first, even before your education. It comes first before marriage. It comes first before brothers and sisters. It comes first in your affairs. In fact, it is the gospel that will make you choose what other things you can accommodate in your life. The gospel will be the compass. It will be the compass to choose. The gospel will also determine the kind of job you will have. The gospel will determine where you have your job. The gospel will determine, are you hearing me? The gospel will even determine where you will live. You cannot go and forget a house and say, now, let's now do gospel. The gospel will determine where you will live. The gospel will determine the kind of job you will pick up. It will to determine the kind of husband, the kind of wife you will marry. Hallelujah. The gospel will determine that. Because the gospel comes first, every other thing follows after. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So, that is setting your priorities right. The gospel comes first in the believer's mind. Christ and his work is first. It's predominant in our thoughts. It's predominant in our minds. Never allow anything come first. You know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. What is on your mind? Marriage on my mind. No, Christ. The work on my mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If other things determine what the gospel will be, then you've misplaced your priorities. The gospel will determine the kind of friends you will keep. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. The gospel will determine the kind of friends you will keep. Because, you see, man is a product of influence. Are you hearing me? Man is a product of influence. I've always said this. That you guard your hand with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. You cannot come and tell me I'm a child of God now, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hey, man is a product of influence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch the way, just simple. Just watch the way you pray. Was that how you were praying 5 years ago? What the way you are praying? Is that how you were praying 2 years ago? What the way you even preach the gospel? Is that how you were preaching the gospel when you were in Sunday school? Man is a product of influence. So you can't deny that. Hallelujah. Unconsciously. Some people, when they were praying with Pastor Tony, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it doesn't necessarily mean you are wrong, but man is a product of influence. The person needs to sit down and tell you, do like this. No. Man is a product of influence. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? It's not it's true. Yeah. The first time that was in 2006, I just discovered that unconsciously I was doing my hands like this. Unconsciously. And I knew that I have been listening much more to Kenneth Hagin too much. Because he does like this unconsciously. Man is a product of influence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to. I just remember something now. The story that was told us. Hallelujah. Of how a man of God listening to another minister. Listening to minister. Let you know. Man is a product of influence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, your company will be the gospel will determine the kind of company you keep.
will even determine the kind of school you apply for in jam.
Very important.
I am saying this because we have several teenagers who are getting into the university about to write jam. The school you choose, the gospel will determine it. Very important as you want to go to Nasarawa Poly, as you want to go to Akunda. The gospel will determine it. Hallelujah. I'm glad Sister Felicia has gotten admission into Gideon. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So the gospel will determine that. Hallelujah.
So it's no longer listen. You know, there is this fallacy that I call it a fallacy. It's a parent that chooses for us the kind of university to go to. You have to put Akunda. Whether they like it or not. Hallelujah. But you know the funny thing? You know the gospel truth? It is the gospel that determines it. And if it is the gospel that determines it, your pastor has a great influence in telling you the university to put.
You don't know, especially when it has, because it has got to do with the gospel. Your pastor can say, Pastor Ikechukwu, I need you in last week. Whether you like it, whether you are thinking of UNM, once you are needed in last week for the work of the ministry, then your jam will carry last week. Is that important? Our life, everything that comes around us, is determined by the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. Now, the cross here will refer to the things you have left for his sake. When, from these two scriptures we've read, the cross would refer to the things you've left for his sake, the things you have denied yourself of.
From Jesus' explanation of Matthew and Luke, to now mean those things you've left
for the gospel's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You find the same thing in Luke 14:24, 25-28. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, hate here means, does not mean you dislike. It means you love, the word hate is the word to love less. You understand me? You love less. Like that means to say, the place, the word hate there is used in comparison to love less. Now, meaning, listen. Do you understand me? I had a brother years back. He said, Postman, do you know? My father is angry with me. And I told him to his face. Jesus Christ said, if you don't hate your father, you will not follow me. Don't it? I said, I don't hate my papa, but I didn't pay my sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, he said, hate means to love less. It's comparison. It's using comparison, meaning it's referring to the gospel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The gospel comes first. And that is why Paul could now write and say, double honor. Replace to the one who labor. Did you see that? So there is this comparison. Honor your father and mother, double honor to your spiritual leaders. Do you understand that? So the things of the spirit, the things that pertain to the gospel is placed higher. Supernatural, okay, let me put it like this. Supernatural relationship is higher, should be placed higher than natural relationships. Supernatural relationship should be placed higher than natural relationships.
Okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You say, blood is thicker than water. Now it's for carnality. Blood and spirit does not, you can't compare both. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he says, he who does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life. Did you see? And his own life, meaning it's not about your comfort. Glory to God. His own life, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. And whoever does not bear, that is, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He just explained it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, what we said holds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the cross here would mean or will refer to you or what you've left for his sake. Hallelujah. What you've denied yourself of. What you've placed below him. Hallelujah. The cross was a Roman way of passing judgment on someone who has sinned against the state, or one who is given to gross punishment. Who is given gross punishment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now Jesus uses that, which is that same cross, which means, remember I said the cross means the Roman way of passing judgment or against someone who has sinned against, I mean, concerning someone who has sinned against the state. Now Jesus will use that as a symbol to typify one leaving his comfort. You understand me? One leaving his comfort. You now use that same word cross to mean leaving your comfort. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Leaving your comfort zone. So, a major cost of being a disciple according to Jesus Christ is that a believer, let me take it again. So, a major cost of being a disciple according to the Lord Jesus, that is, the cost of being a believer, or should I call it the cost of being a believer? A disciple, let me just leave it at that, is you leaving your comfort to serve him. Leaving your comfort to serve him. Now, we find Jesus talk about the cross, while he was, at his incarnation. We hear him talk about the cross at incarnation. But there's something wonderful. Jesus in his resurrection, Jesus in his incarnation will talk about the cross. But at his resurrection, listen, he will not talk about his own cross because he had misplaced the words. Let me take it again. Jesus in his incarnation will not talk about his own cross. Do you understand me? All the while we've seen here is what? Carry your cross, right? Take up his cross. And Jesus will not talk about his own cross because he had not borne it. He had not borne it. Please, the one that is good. Okay, not E-D.
B-O-R-N-E. B-O-R-N-E.
Adan. Don't allow. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, Jesus, because he has not yet borne it, but the apostles will give explanation to what the cross of Christ is. Do you understand me? So Jesus will not find him in his incarnation while he was on the earth talking about his own cross. But he will talk about your cross, carry your cross. Hallelujah. Take up his cross. Hallelujah. But you see, we will find the apostles give explanation to what the cross of Christ is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time is fast spent. First Corinthians, let's see how Paul will use it. First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 17 to 18. Okay, he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Well, he talks about baptize, there is no spiritual baptism. He talks about water baptism. Hallelujah. Now, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. That word, the cross of Christ, comes in again. Comes in here. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Please take note of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Look at verse 18. He now said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Hallelujah. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent." Paul, in verse 17 to 18, talks about the cross figuratively as a message. He said, Paul is using it as a message. He said, he calls it the message of the cross. Did you see that? The message of the cross. He said, "You have been sent to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Meaning the cross is a message. The cross of Christ is a message. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Okay, Galatians 5, from verse 9, it says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Are you with me? "I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you would." Now, the book of Galatians, is a book written by Paul, I've already said it, in defense of the gospel. Hallelujah. Wrote it to defend the gospel in Galatia. Right? Yeah. Defense of the gospel. Hallelujah. So you find Paul. If you read from chapter 1, Paul, you find that everything Paul is defending the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm not explaining the book of Galatians, but I just want to give us that little background so you understand. Now, he said, "I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you would have no other mind. But he who troubles you, Torosu, you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 11. "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision." Did you see? No, some. Tomorrow, when we begin to talk about some other things titled, we'll continue about some facts with God's word, but it will be like a church tomorrow. Hallelujah. There's one thing I would have to show you, that it should not be found in the gospel. Hallelujah. You must not find, it must not be found amongst what you say when you preach. You must not see it by action, by words in the year 2019 and forever. Do you understand me? It must not be found in the message. What must not be found in our message?
The message of Christ is our message. Hallelujah. It must not be found at all by words, by action, by any means. It must not be there. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now he says, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Hallelujah. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Hallelujah. He said, for you have been called, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Well, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. Verse 11 also. It says, see with what large letter I have written to you with my own hand. Silent. All phones on silent. See with what large letters I've written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing of the flesh, this would compel you to be circumcised. Only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For the cross of Christ. He said they will not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. What is Paul communicating here? You know, we've been able to establish in 1 Corinthians that the cross would mean a message, right? So, we will now say, if that suffices, that means what Paul is talking about here, Paul is actually defending the gospel. So, he will now refer to the gospel or to the message. He will now refer to the message in Galatians, to the church at Galatians, as the cross of Christ. Do you understand me? You refer to that same message as the cross. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now, as I wrote here, in the defense of the gospel, Paul referred to the gospel as the message, referred to the cross as the message of the gospel. That is, it is a shorthand. The word cross of Christ will not become I've shown us in one of our teachings where I said how Paul will write words in shorthand and in longhand, right? Right? Hallelujah. So therefore, this will not be Paul's shorthand for what? For the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Do you understand me? The word, the cross of Christ, will not be a shorthand. Will be a shorthand of Paul's, of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So the cross of Christ is a shorthand for the word, the message which encompasses the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension. Hallelujah. The resurrection is the ascension. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, as a believer, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to me? The cross of Christ. What does this mean to me? What does this mean to me? You know, Paul will say in 2 Corinthians, he say, woe be me if I preach not the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For Matthew chapter 28, for verse 18, say, go therefore. The word you go therefore means to go therefore. It's a word for every day. Go therefore and make disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word disciple, the word student. Student. Make student. The responsibility of the gospel or to preach the gospel is been handed to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The responsibility to preach the gospel has been handed to us. To preach the gospel.
So
the cross of Christ is the message. And who bears the message? We carry the message of Christ. We preach the message of Christ. Hallelujah. So the responsibility to preach that is in us is has been handed over to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is our responsibility to preach the gospel. It's our responsibility. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he said, preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel. Preach. It's our responsibility to preach the gospel. We've been handed over that responsibility. Glory to God. Angels don't preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Remember, it's a year of great harvest. Matthew chapter 9. Say, pray. Now, I said, we are the laborers in the harvest. We are the laborers in the harvest. We are the laborers. We are the laborers in the harvest. Glory to God. We are the ones to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. 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 So when Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, and he sent more laborers into the harvest, he was saying that to the disciples. Hallelujah. He was saying that word to the disciples. At his death, burial, and resurrection, we came in as the laborers. Do you understand me? In the harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It will be childish. It will be childish for you to pray, oh Lord, bring forth laborers into this harvest, into your harvest. You stand as the laborers to raise up other laborers in the harvest. Hallelujah. That's why he said, go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples. The Lord will not send laborers into the harvest when you don't make disciples. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So, our making disciples, our doing the work of the Father, is we raising disciples, raising laborers in the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm committed to the Master's work. Hallelujah. I'm committed to the Master's work. Glory to God. So, he tells us to preach the gospel. To preach is the word kerusu. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To announce. To preach. To announce. Hallelujah. To publish. To preach. To announce. To publish. That is the only way we've been told to minister the gospel. That is the only way. We're not told to use choreography. I remember, yes, we have used choreography before in 2000 and. When did that? What is that thing? Is it 2015? No. I have known the scripture beyond that by that time. When bro Musa acted God. 2013. Hallelujah. Intoxication. Hallelujah. We've done that. We've made those mistakes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is Pastor Abel was a soldier. Oh, God. he acted demon.
Oh, I know. Soldier.
That plug you.
I remember also 2012. We did break dance.
December meeting now. Yes, now. Rachel did that chapter. We did break dance. So, therefore, the word of God says, slew many drama.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've grown and we've put away childish things. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Look at where you are laughing.
For those days, you were serious. Some people were even kind. Some people were even kind. Remember what I said yesterday. When you begin to use strategy, you're not relying on praying power.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory.
So you don't preach the gospel with choreography.
You don't preach the gospel with breakdance. You don't preach the gospel with
theater, with agape. No.
Agape theater, no. No. The word is to preach Caruso. It's not with poetry. Yeah, it's not with poetry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
The only way the gospel is ministered is by announcing it with your mouth. Not to be sung, to reach the untold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the days of Christ, you would believe me, those of you who are into art will tell me that art started long before Christ. In fact, the Greeks, those of Greece, used art a lot. Those of you who have done philosophy, who have done in school, funny course, hallelujah, very funny, hallelujah. They use majorly art, hallelujah. They were given to art. Art could date as far back as Egyptian, at the time of the Egyptians. Do you understand me? To the times of the Egyptians. In fact, philosophy will tell you dates back to Egypt. That's what they will tell you. Philosophy dates back to Egypt. That when you enter into the temple of Egypt, you see man know thyself. Hallelujah. You understand me? So philosophy or art dates back that way. But you find Christ, you find the master telling his disciples to go and preach the gospel. He sends them two by two. They go ahead to announce the gospel. You find in Acts of Apostles chapter 8 how Philip went and announced, how they announced the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They preached the gospel.
When Peter and John were stopped from, after they were done healing the guy at the gate of Beautiful, and they told them, by which power did you do this? Why would you do this? They should have started acting movie now. They should have started singing. No. Hallelujah. They should even have started choreography or started breakdance. So they went and they ministered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, they said they were drunken. But Peter, out of the drunkenness, stood up and ministered. He spoke. He announced the message. Then the message must be spoken. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the message will be spoken with our mouth. We find in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 from verse 14, Peter spoke with his mouth. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 12, he spoke again. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 23. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 31, sorry. Hallelujah. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Verse 42, rather. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. We find it's written, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Did you see that? They kept preaching the word. Hallelujah. In every way, chapter 6 from verse 10 to 15. Chapter 6, verse 10 to 15. Stephen spoke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stephen spoke. Chapter 7. You find how Stephen was talking to the council. Chapter 8, from verse 4 to 6. Hallelujah. Chapter 8, from verse 4 to verse 6. The Bible talks about the disciples that were made. The disciples that were won. Hallelujah. When Saul came with his havoc, I would say they were scattered abroad preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. They preached everywhere. Hallelujah. As they scattered, they preached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at chapter 9 also. Ananias went to meet Saul. And he did what? And he spoke to Saul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And after Ananias was done talking to Saul, what did Saul do? In verse 20. Bible says, immediately he preached Christ. After Ananias came to meet Saul and laid hands on Saul, that was his part gone. What did he do? What did Saul do in verse 20? Immediately he preached Christ.
Let me tell you something. There was someone that I led to Christ years back. I'll not call his name. Led him to Christ. Let's go and do evangelism. No, it's a man of God. He attends deeper life.
I'll take it out. Hallelujah. So I ministered Christ to him.
You know all those young boys that go to deeper life, go to sit at the back benches. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. What they are doing, their mind is not there at all. So I spoke to him about the gospel. When we're done. And I said, I'm going for evangelism. Join me. Let's go there. I said, it's too fast. See, it's too fast. Just I just got born again. I should be preaching. It's too fast. I said, okay, follow me. Then he said, it's too fast. It's too quick.
Okay, and I said, okay, let me.
Okay, there's such a thing called speaking in tongues. I told him, isn't that how fast Christianity?
But we find Paul immediately, his sight was restored. What did he do? Preached in the synagogue. Hallelujah. Went ahead. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. We find Peter in the house of Cornelius when he was hesitomizing. When he was explaining, he didn't explain with drama. He was talking as he declared, he said the Spirit there. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 8. So when he had explained all these things to them, hallelujah. When he was doing that, the Holy Spirit came. Hallelujah. Did I say verse 8? Glory to God. Don't mind me. Glory to God. Okay. Verse 44, sorry. Say, why Peter was still speaking these words? He was still speaking. The Holy Spirit fell. Verse 44, not verse 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Major fact about the gospel. Very important. The gospel must be preached. What must not be found in the gospel? We'll look at that tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you must understand that the gospel is Christ. Jesus in Luke chapter 24. Spoke to the men, the two guys. And he told them all that the prophet had written was concerning him. Hallelujah. So the gospel is centered on Christ. Christ and Christ alone. It is not centered on yourself. It's not the point to come and show us you know Greek and Hebrew. It's not the point to come and show us you are very vast. You are too good.
Hallelujah. It's Christ must be seen. Hallelujah. Self must not be found in the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Legalism must not be found in the gospel. Materialism must not be found in the gospel. Don't worry, we'll look at that. Hallelujah. In the coming hours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the gospel of Christ, the cross of Christ is the message of Christ. The cross of Christ is the message of Christ. The cross of Christ is the message of Christ. The cross of Christ is the message. And the message has been entrusted to our hands. Has been entrusted to us. Has been entrusted to us. That message has been entrusted to us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mata bala mandos.